There we go. Tom B, New Jersey. Tom, take as long as you want, sir. Good to have you.
Hey, I'm Tom. I'm an addict. I'm grateful to be here, grateful to be in a meeting. Thank you, Mark, for inviting me to speak. I've only done this once before and I really didn't like doing it, but I have like a service mentality these days. So I said yes when I was asked, and so I'm here. I guess I'll just give you guys a simple qualification, start with a little early history, then some magic medicine mayhem, and if I still have energy after that, maybe a little bit of recovery too. When I was a kid, I used to go to a meetings with my dad, in Staten Island where we grew up. Both my parents are Hungarian. Hungary is the ranked number one alcoholic country in the world. And I come from a long line of alcoholics and addicts on both sides of the family. I don't believe that has anything to do with why I'm an addict. I don't think it's a reason or an explanation, and it's certainly not a rhyme. But it is the reason why I knew where to go and what to do when addiction became a problem in my life. I'm grateful that, when I was like a kid that I got to go to meetings with my dad, because when I was 27 and I first came to an AA meeting, it felt like coming home. But because my dad was an addict, I grew up most of my life being taught that I would most likely become an alcoholic or an addict if I tried anything addictive. And I was raised with a healthy fear of all drugs and alcohol, but it didn't really instill in me the right attitude about it. I ultimately just thought drugs and alcohol were stupid. I didn't think that they were something to be wary of. But I was taught a lot of things about the world by my mom and dad, who were really angry about everything and very critical and judgmental. So when I turned 18 and I started experiencing life, I discovered that all the stuff they hated and thought were stupid were actually fucking awesome. Fast food was awesome. Sugary food was awesome. Shitty TV and shitty movies were awesome. Doing stupid things loudly with friends was awesome. And the moment I tried drugs and alcohol, I was not blown away, but it didn't seem like anything to be worried about. So I went from thinking the whole world was stupid to just thinking that my parents were stupid. And I immediately started trying drugs and alcohol at the age of 18 with all my friends the first time I tried it, and it accelerated very quickly. I remember the first time I drank, I was on a what we called a party bus after prom, and I think we had something called bitch brew, which was one part cranberry juice, one part vodka, and I had about 10 shots worth of it in 2 hours, and I felt nothing. I was just sitting there on the like built-in couch of this bus while everybody was stumbling and laughing and having a fun time making a fool of themselves, and I just sat there feeling not much at all. And I remember afterwards I went home and I told my mom, like, hey, I tried alcohol. It didn't have an effect on me. I don't think you need to worry about me becoming alcoholic. And she laughed and shook her head. And then now here I am. Shortly after that, I went to school. I went to a pretty good school for engineering, and I wanted to like save the world, or so I thought. And I quickly discovered that most of what engineering is like feeding a money machine or like a war machine. And I got really disinterested really fast. And all the while, I was learning to make new friends, but having a hard time because I was constantly anxious and embarrassed. And I thought alcohol and drugs would resolve that problem because that's what people and television taught me. And it never did, but I kept trying it. And eventually, just the act of getting alcohol or getting drugs became the way to connect with people. It was just standard for me that if I showed up at a party or a concert, immediately the main goal was an adventure or a hunt to find my fix. I got pretty good at it. And it was years before I actually even started enjoying it. I remember the first year or so of drinking alcohol. I thought it tasted like shit. I thought it didn't feel very good, but I kept at it just because I wanted to connect. I did eventually figure out how to enjoy it, but it took a while. So magic. I think one of my magic moments was the first time I took MDMA. I think that was about a year and a half into my use. I had been really frustrated with my experience in college and finding friends and doing drugs and alcohol because it just seemed like everybody was having a good time. You know, they were fucking each other, they were making art, they were meeting new people, and I was just sitting there kind of frustrated and unable to like enjoy myself, even if I found the things I wanted to. And then somebody handed me this like Chinese Molly, which I later discovered was mostly meth. And I took it about Wednesday on a Wednesday at like 12 a.m. and it kicked in around 3 a.m. And I spent the next 12 hours wandering Manhattan, befriending every single homeless person I could find and going, having endless conversations with anyone I could find on the street. And I loved every second of it. And after that day, I would buy that same pill every other day for about a year. It eventually led me to other drugs. And now the medicine part of my story. One of the reasons I think alcohol and drugs became such a huge part of my life is because I was very fearful and controlling about everything, which meant that nothing ever changed of my own input. And I needed something to change things for me. And I don't mean in the sense that I needed to take a drug to like feel good. I meant like I would get stuck in relationships or programs or schools, and I would hate them, and I wouldn't know how to get out of them because I would just be constantly trying to fix it and make it work. And every time I got into drugs and alcohol, it was only a matter of months before that whole system would just break with or without my like controlling input. When I was drunk or high, I couldn't keep things together. I couldn't keep relationships together. I couldn't keep jobs together. I couldn't even keep my ideas about how things worked in order. And so that's how I broke off relationships that weren't working. That's how I left schools that weren't giving me what I needed. I just developed an addictive pattern that broke everything else. And because I kept getting out of things that were actually awful for me, I saw no reason to stop indulging. Eventually, I discovered psychedelics, and I use those to thoroughly break my brain and my perception on everything. And it was sort of a match made in heaven for a long time. And I identified myself as a psychonaut, somebody who explores drugs in the mind, and catalogs them scientifically. I discovered the dark net, and I became very proficient at it. So I would obsessively order my drugs online and test them for purity, and I would record my drug experiences online for other people to learn from. I would learn proper administration routes and all that stuff. And I thought that I was doing something like beautiful and important and vaguely spiritual and scientific. And it, I mean, maybe there were parts of it that were like that, but mostly I was just going insane and breaking everything and everyone around me. But yeah, for me, the medicine part of my story was, yeah, that my relationships with everything, toxic as they were, would end. Eventually, I had this experience with alcohol where, after about 10 years of abusing stimulants and psychedelics, which were expensive and chaotic, I sort of realized that I had this like romantic comedy kind of experience with alcohol where I turned to alcohol and I was like, hey, this can work, kind of like how the two main characters of a romantic comedy are searching for love out in the world and turn to each other and realize that they had been supporting each other and having a good thing the whole time. And for about 4 or 5 years, I did that exclusively. And all the while, I was doing better in work. I was collecting interesting friendships, and I thought I was building a really good relationship with my partner. But I was just finding a way to cope with really toxic relationships with, again, everything that I had. And this old pattern that I used to have where my addictions were breaking cycles slowed down. And it's at that point where things started to turn to mayhem. I ended up in California, far away from my original home, with a person who was emotionally abusing me and who I was bending over backwards to try to please. And somewhere along the road, I, in an effort to keep them in my relationship, I stopped drinking. And then I essentially broke. I couldn't take it anymore. I told them, you know, like, I did the normal breakup stuff, and it was catastrophic. And the entire time that this was happening, I had sitting in the corner of my room, a gram of heroin and 3 grams of meth that I had ordered on the dark net as a free sample. I don't know why I had them or why the dark net even offers free samples, but the moment my relationship with them ended, I started trying them out. I didn't like heroin, so I kind of set it aside, but meth reminded me of my first love, MDMA and Adderall, and I started taking it in small amounts. And 6 months later, I was getting arrested for breaking back into the apartment that I broke into with my ex to rob her ex in order to return the items that we had stolen from him. And then I spent 3 nights in Essex County Prison because the prisons in Jersey are so overfilled that they have to cycle them through prisons. And I was sharing a floor with rapists and murderers and people who have life sentences. And the entire time I was there, I felt fine. I felt like I was in elementary school and I made friends there and I had no sense of danger or up or down. And then another 6 months later, I was running around Los Angeles in an essentially stolen car, throwing all my jewelry and personal possessions out the window because I believe they had tracking devices in them, and calling the police on my own residences because I needed them to help me find people hiding in the walls. Yeah, so that's the mayhem. My sober date is June 26th, 2023. I have a couple different sponsors, one in AA, one in NA, that works for me. I'm in about three or four different related fellowships. And I heard that this is a vaguely free thinking group, and I like that. But I'm starting to realize that I'm not as free thinking as I thought I was. I'm often more of a contrarian. So when I'm in a group that's very dogmatic and God-filled, I tend to think that God is stupid. And when I'm in a group that's full of atheists, I tend to think that they need God. And it's kind of funny to watch myself go through those really weird emotions. Anyway, that has nothing to do with recovery. I'm on step four with one sponsor, step two with another. I've gone through about seven different sponsors now. The first year of my sobriety was very strange for me. And in hindsight, the problems that I had with my sponsors were just emotional hiccups that I experienced. And I wish that I had paused more, but I'm here now and I have a good fellowship here in Jersey City. And I just recently started a job as a barista here. I go to meetings almost every single day, whether or not I want to. I don't even think about it at this point. It's just what I do. And it's given me the thing that I think I've been missing most of my life, which is community. I have this belief that the steps aren't as important as everybody shouts about, and the suggestions are lovely, but they aren't the end all be all. I think the thing that helps me most is a community that is committed to healing that I can return to day after day. And when I first got into the program or the programs, I was reading a lot of philosophy. I was going crazy from the ending of my last relationship and meth withdrawal. And I like believed I could own 12-step programs in a sense. Like if I fully understood the philosophy behind each step or what the founders were thinking or how the program actually works, I could be perfect, I could be golden or whatever. And now it's like becoming clear to me that the healing that I'm experiencing has nothing to do with my intention or my beliefs about how it works. It's primarily just a function of time and community. And the more time I spend around people who are sober, and the more time I let go of my ideas about how everything must work, the better I seem to get. And every time I try to attain more knowledge, more understanding, more money, I tend to lose that healing. I tend to get sidetracked a little bit and it turns into something else every time. See. Just checking my notes to see if there's anything else I wanted to say. Oh, I have a couple of cool stories. I'll tell those. Before I got sober, when I was smoking meth in Los Angeles, this is like my favorite mayhem story. I was doing TaskRabbit at the time to keep myself solvent, and I would do everything from install TVs to fix people's toilets to build furniture. And for one particular client, I was building this really large, precise hardwood mantelpiece for his new home. I lived among really rich people. And I spent like 18 hours obsessively cutting this beautiful thing in his garage with nobody there. And when I finished, it was about 2 a.m. And just as I finished the last cut, I accidentally slid my hand into a table saw and my middle finger got caught in the blade. And I felt the blade hit the bone of my middle finger. And then immediately, because something like this has happened before, I grabbed my hand, got a bunch of duct tape, and taped it up. And then I spent the next 3 hours cleaning that garage to remove evidence of my minor error. And then I looked up the rules of my insurance and which hospitals were open and the wait times there. And I decided it would be too much of a headache to go to the hospital to get this fixed up. So I went home and I took out this suture kit that I had bought on Amazon with one day shipping. And I spent the next 7 hours sewing my mangled finger back together. And then when it was over, I took that 1 gram of heroin from the beginning of my story, heroin that I didn't like. And I checked it with my drug testing kit, and I discovered it was fentanyl. But that didn't stop me. I then diluted it with 3 gallons of water and spent the next few hours gradually increasing the amount of that water that I drank until I felt pretty good. And then my friend came over, and I spent the rest of the day hanging out with him, and I saw nothing wrong with this whole experience. And looking back on it now, I'm kind of shocked that I made it this far and that I'm still alive. All right, that's my story. Thank you for listening.